What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals, and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Talk about your favorite teams on The Fan. Call 888-808-1019. Anytime. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream every NFL on CBS playoff game. Live on Paramount Plus.
I wish I found some better sounds no one's ever heard. I wish I had a better voice to sing some better words. I wish I found some chords in an order that's
all right, 303. Mick Monagle here with you on The Fan, 888-808-1019. Let's turn to baseball for a second. How good does that sound? Let's go. I'm pumped for baseball. Still waiting on the Yankees to get a third base. We can have that conversation a little bit. 888-808-1019 if you'd like. Because I still can't imagine, and it will right now, make no mistake, I heard Keith having this discussion, it's not going to be Oswaldo Cabrera, it's not going to be Oswald Peraza. The starting third baseman for the New York Yankees right now is DJ LeMahieu, make no mistake. Unless he gets hurt in spring training, which is always possible, they are going to give him the starting position. He's making $15 million, he's making $15 million a year. They think if healthy and a full off season that he could at least give them on base percentage and bat to ball skills. I'm telling you, now they're not going to give him a long leash. If he's hitting 100 in the middle of May, that's it. But he's going to start the year as a third baseman, which sucks. But we'll see what happens. There's still time. They're waiting to move Stroman. If they can move Stroman's money, they would do something. We'd have a whole another conversation about the Yankees and how they handle money. But speaking of money. As we know, I talked a lot about it last week, Pete Alonso. And there is one report that I saw that the Mets and Pete Alonso, you know, might not be done. I think that makes sense. I'd be surprised if the Mets just walk away. Now, right now, Andy Martino reported today that there's nothing new to discuss, that they haven't had any meaningful conversations. But I refuse to believe the Mets have just walked away from it, and I still think Pete Alonso would ultimately like to be a New York Met, and he got a hit today, or yesterday, because yesterday, Anthony Santander signed a five-year deal with the Toronto Blue Jays. Someone finally took his money. Five-year deal, 92.5. Santander, who hit 44 home runs, is a switch hitter, a flawed player. I don't love him, and the Baltimore Orioles didn't even try and retain him, which is amazing to me. I mean, right now, you want to talk about how the Yankees don't spend money. You want to talk about a bunch of different stuff. We'll get into the Dodgers. I thought this Orioles group had all this young talent. They're going to take on the big, bad Yankees. They win 100 games, win a division. The next year, they have a down year, and both years they lose both games in the wild card. Haven't won a playoff game yet, but they've got all this young talent. They trade away for Burns, don't have any interest in re-signing him. They have these new owners who supposedly have money. They don't want to sign Burns. They don't want to sign Santander. They've gotten, you know, Tyler O'Neill and Charlie Morton. That's their offseason. Sorry to go off on a little tangent, but everyone, the Orioles, the O's, they're going to be the king of the division for so long. The king of the. Please. They've had a miserable offseason. Don't keep Santander, who goes to the Blue Jays. For less than $20 million per. We have seen the Alex Bregman market collapse. This was another market that was collapsing, and he just went to Toronto where nobody wants to go. For less than $20 million per. And where at this point, it's not that crazy. At this point, it sounds for 5 years. Like, that's the thing. At least it's 92 and it's 5 years. and maybe, you know, Pete's looking for those extra years, and maybe he'll take the lesser money if you give him more years. I don't think the Mets will. But still, 5 years at 92.5? 5 years less than $20 million? For a guy who honestly felt like, in heading into the offseason, felt like the runner-up to the Juan Soto sweepstakes, right? Like, he's the next best guy. If you can't get Juan Soto, you're going to turn to Santander. And his market has just completely fallen off. And you heard Vinny Pascantino, the first baseman for the Royals, talk about the first base market and how the first base market has become the new version of the NFL's running back market, where it's devalued. And clearly the numbers are down for contracts for first basemen. Clearly Pete's getting offered what he's getting offered from the New York Mets. And it just feels like, you know, they go by war. It's hard to get war as a defensive first baseman. For whatever reason, first basemen have not gotten what seems to be their value for their production. And for all of you out there, again, Pete just took another hit because Santander had 44 home runs, switch hitter, not a great outfielder, clearly. I think Pete's a far better first baseman than Santander is an outfielder. Strikes out, low average. All the same, a lot of the same things Pete's dealing with. But this was supposed to be a guy who got paid on some level. And 5 for $92 seems like a real bargain for what we thought Santander was going to get. And it's just another hit for Pete Alonso, who's trying to make upwards of close to $30 million a year. You would have to think, otherwise, what's the holdup? And that's what I would just say to the Met fan. And to the Mets, if I was, like, in my mind, I understand that right now they are, and maybe they moved on. I find it hard to believe they have. I find it hard to believe they've completely shut the door and are no longer considering it at any price. I find that hard to believe. And why? Because it's stupid, in my opinion. I understand we've had this discussion a lot. If Pete Alonso is forced to come back, I mean, here's the thing. This is a guy who's been the face of your organization. It's been, you know, 5-6 years with Pete, LFGM, the polar bear, all of it. He's been your guy. He was hitting 50 home runs, making $500,000. You're the richest owner in baseball. I'm not saying give him something crazy. And if Pete, I'm not there for the good. If Pete's asking for $35 million to take a short-term deal, no one's, I'm with you. How could you give him that money? It's not anywhere close to market value. But to hold the line at bare minimum market value for your guy who might feel insulted at such an offer. Like, and maybe it's, and Pete's going to have to understand he took another hit. Maybe he comes back with just a 1 year deal. Me and Marco were just talking about that. Like, if Pete wants $30 million per, like, would you give Pete Alonso $30 million for 1 year? Like, the market wouldn't dictate it, but don't you think the Mets would be foolish not to do that? They still need pop in this lineup. And look, the market is what it is. Alex Bregman still hasn't found a team. I think the Jays might still be in play for Pete Alonso because that was the team they were talking to. I can't understand for the life of me why the San Francisco Giants aren't trying to make a splash with Pete Alonso. He's going to go there and hit 30, 35 home runs. They need it. They're trying to compete, I would think, in a pretty damn good division, no? Like, I still think someone's going to come around to give a 40 home run hitter and more consistent of a 40 home run hitter than Santander and Pete Alonso some money. So I still think the Mets are where he should be on a short-term deal. I don't see why there's any reason there's no wiggle room for the New York Mets. That's all I'm saying. And I'll continue to say it. And I know, listen, right now he might have to come back and take their money and they'll look brilliant. And I'll have to eat some of my words, although I've been open to the idea of that's what ends up happening. But I think the Mets should try and get it done and make the player happy as well. It's not going to prevent them from doing anything. But if the Mets are still on Pete Alonso, they had a great day with this Santander contract. There is no doubt. You look at this guy and what he's done over the last couple of years and what, you know, he had 44 home runs last year. And that's the deal he gets. Pete Alonso had another rough day. And let's talk about the Dodgers for a second, too. And I mentioned this, too, with how the Mets are handling the offseason. Because the Dodgers are just ridiculous. And I'm maybe one of the only fans. As a Yankee fan, I'm almost excited. I don't believe that this is terrible for baseball. I don't. I don't necessarily view it as that, because we haven't seen a repeat champion since the 2000 New York Yankees. We have seen teams, like, you look at the Padres a few years ago. They have Manny Machado. They have Juan Soto. They have Fernando Tatis. They have Xander Bogaerts. They have Blake Snell. They have Yu Darvish. They have an unbelievable roster. They won 82 games. Now, I'm not suggesting the Dodgers, who just won the championship while banged up, are only going to win 82 games. I'm sure they're going to be the dominant force in the sport. But I don't get hung up on it. One, like, every owner could do this. Like, we could talk about New York Yankees, and we could talk about they're the highest revenue team in the sport, and we could talk about their debts and how much money they owe Yankee Stadium for the lease on Yankee Stadium, how much they're in debt to the YES Network, how many different investors they have, how many different Steinbrenner kids have to split up the money. We could have all that discussion about how much money actually the New York Yankees are making after they pay off all their debts. They can afford to do everything the Dodgers are doing. There are owners throughout baseball who can afford to do everything the Dodgers are doing. The Dodgers are really smart, and they spend money. And their payroll, when you take in the tax, is going to be over $450 million. But I relish it. I relish the opportunity to beat them. I heard BT say this today on one of the clips the social media account put out. I totally agree. I love that there's an enemy. I love being the enemy as a Yankee fan. And because I still think in some ways they are to a lot of people, but they haven't won enough. They haven't won a championship since 2009. So you can't be the Death Star. You can't be the enemy of baseball. You can't be the big bad bully without a championship in 15, 16 years. So the Dodgers are now the enemy of baseball. They are the team that signs everybody. They went and won the World Series, and they had an offseason of adding Blake Snell, the best left-handed reliever, in Tanner Scott for $18 million a year. They brought in a shortstop from Korea, and they re-signed Hernandez. Like, there's no stop. And they re-upped Tommy Edmonds. Like, they have went out and got much better. They've added another great lefty arm to that bullpen. They've added another incredible starting pitcher to what was already, arguably, without the injuries last year, clearly. I mean, look at this rotation that they have. They are the villains of baseball, and I kind of relish it. And every team can do this. I'm more pissed at the rich owners who don't do this. Now, I know revenue and everything like that, but like, I'm not saying you have to go as far as the Dodgers, but there are so many teams that don't spend money. Like, I mean, like the Cubs. The report is that he preferred the Cubs, but the Cubs fell a couple million short. Now, we can argue about the contract, right, and whether or not any reliever is worth $18 million. Right, he's only really had two dominant seasons. Relievers can be a bit fickle, and so we can argue whether or not the contract's good. And that was really, you know, the argument I had with the Mets when I did my show on Saturday. I think it was when I did my show on Saturday. Like, if you look at the Mets have handled this off season after Juan Soto, it's been hold the line, and we're going to be really smart. Right, we talk about how the Mets have the benefit of having the young, smart owner who comes from mid-market Milwaukee and understands that he just can't throw money at every problem and has to be creative and has to do things differently. And he's built a really stable franchise there that continues to win. And the executive who replaced him just won executive of the year and manager of the year and all that. So they're a well-run franchise. They've done a really nice job. And he laid that groundwork for them. And now you add that with the owner, Steve Cohen's money, and pretty much that means smart moves surrounded by the best of free agents. And that sounds like a great plan, and I'm all in on it, except, you know, if you're going to be the big team in town and you're going to beat your chest and say you are, and that was part of getting Juan Soto, and you want to compete with the Los Angeles Dodgers, I'm sorry, and maybe we'll see. Maybe this is the right way, and I'm dead wrong. But you can't just treat it as an I only make smart moves. Like, sometimes you have to take a chance. And you could be smart and then not make the move and not get the player. Like, you could be smart with Pete Alonso and not get him. And now who's your first baseman in the middle of the lineup? And you could say, hey, I prefer Minter at $11 million than I do the better pitcher at 18. And you can say that till you're blue in the face. And you know what? In 2 years, that might be the better option. I don't know. But what I do know is after going out to get Juan Soto, they have not followed it up with any real significant, I mean, to bring back Manaea, that's about it. And they're playing hardball with Pete Alonso, and we'll see if that works for them, and maybe it will. But as of right now, they're playing hardball with Pete Alonso and won't budge on the bare minimum of what market value is. And they desperately need a reliever. They desperately need relievers. They've got Diaz and nobody else. Maybe Buto, who didn't really perform that, you know, he had a great year for them out of the bullpen, and he faded down the stretch a little bit, but understandably so. But heading into the year, you feel confident, I suppose, with him in the bullpen. But they're in the market. They're talking to the best left-handed reliever on the market, bar none, in Tanner Scott. And although I think Minter's a fine pitcher and had a good year last year, he also only threw 36 innings and has had hip injury back to the back years. And instead of saying, you know what, I don't love giving $18 million a year to Tanner Scott, but you know what? He's the better pitcher. He's the best option. Let's go make this bullpen as dominant as I can make it. And you know what? In a few years, maybe that's a move you regret, I'm not saying that there isn't a reasonable take that $18 million is too much for a reliever, but do you want the best players, and do you want to go compete in this National League? Are you willing to take the risk? And he has before, right? He has before, and maybe that's part of it. It failed him going out and getting Max Scherzer. It failed him going out and getting Verlander. It's failed him spending all that money, and the team fell on its face 2 years ago. But there is a line that right now the Mets are trying to ride. Obviously, Juan Soto's the no-brainer. Obviously, if Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is available, that's a no-brainer if you're willing to spend the money. I mean, they could end up failing. I'd be surprised, but they could. But they're the superstar free agents. They're offensive superstar, young, hitting free agency at least 2 or 3 years earlier than most every other free agent. Those are the kind of superstar free agents that this owner has shown a willingness to go out and get, and they absolutely should. That's where they should live. But if you're trying to build a World Series team, and you're trying to compete with the Dodgers, and you're trying to compete with the Braves, and you've entered World Series or bust territory, sometimes you can't just sit back and go, oh, I'm only making smart moves. Oh, I don't do this. I don't go get starting pitching at 30. Oh, I don't pay relievers $17, $18 million. Oh, I don't do this. I don't do that. And you know what? Those are all sound principles that over time might end up being the smarter way to be a competitor each and every year. But every once in a while, you got to step up and take the chance to go win a championship. And right now, it just feels like the Mets aren't treating this year as that year. Because if they were, I think you'd pony up and give Pete Alonso a little bit closer to what he's asking to secure the player for the next 3 years. That doesn't cost you any, that doesn't hurt you getting anybody else, especially with an opt-out. And if they were, maybe they'd say, you know what, Minter's fine at 11. It's probably the overall better deal, but let me go get the more dominant pitcher. And that's not how they're treating it. And that's fine, because again, you can tell me up and down, $18 million, I wouldn't pay any reliever $18 million. And I'm not going to argue with you. It makes sense. I agree. I'm nervous about relievers. But is the extra $7, $8 million you have to give Tanner Scott going to hurt you with this owner? Is it going to hurt? I would have shown a little more urgency after the Juan Soto signing, especially with how damn good the National League is. 888-808-1019. But listen, the Dodgers are a force. The Dodgers are smart. The Dodgers develop well. The Dodgers develop pitching well. The Dodgers make smart, sound trades. And the Dodgers are willing to spend a ton of money. And we all wish, every one of us, right? Even the Mets at this moment, I'm sure the Met fan is very happy and wouldn't trade their owner for any owner. I get it. I wouldn't either. Fine. But even the Mets aren't operating like the Dodgers right now. And they're finding a way to give all that. They have $1.5 billion just waiting to be paid in the offing. And eventually it's going to come home to roost, I would think. But in the meantime, they don't care about luxury tax. They don't care about whatever it takes to make them the best version, the best team they can be. That's all they care about. And Tanner Scott's their guy. And like that's why I'm disappointed. Like the Cubs, I mentioned before, the Cubs, they're like, apparently the report is Tanner Scott wanted to be a Cub. They fell a couple million bucks short. They let him go to the Dodgers. Like, what are you doing, Chicago? Do you want the player or not? At some point, sometimes you get the benefit of the doubt. Maybe Pete Alonso falls to you. Maybe Alex Bregman falls to you. Maybe Santander falls to you. But if there's a market for a reliever you need, and he's about to go to the Dodgers for $5 million more, the owner of the Cubs has a lot of money. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Steve in Rockland. What's up, Steve?
Yo, Chris, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Do you see similarities between the way the Mets are treating Alonso and the way the Yankees treated Andy Pettitte? Because I remember how I felt when he signed with the Astros. I was very unhappy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Do I see similarities?
Well, I guess. You know, and I think there was more of a market for Andy Pettitte.
Well, I mean, Andy Pettitte was a World Series champion.
Exactly.
Multiple times over.
And then, I think, when the Yankees finally decided that maybe they valued him, he said, no, you insulted me. I'm not going to sign with you, kind of a thing. That's how I remember it.
There was rumors that, there's an old rumor that it had something to do with his son wearing a Mets hat because he played on, like, there's a rumor that something happened with him and George. That was the rumor with him and George. But, I don't know if I see that many similarities. It's not like Pete Alonso is the face of the team. I wouldn't call Andy Pettitte the face of the team.
Okay.
Pete Alonso has a chance to be the best position player. Andy Pettitte was never going to be the best pitcher in the history of the Yankees. But I guess there was something there where he was undervalued and they allowed a homegrown guy who won championships for them to leave and go to Houston. Yeah.
Okay, and quick thing about Saquon and the Giants. Not so much about Saquon. Look, the Giants, Saquon was 6, 7 years? How many years?
He was there
7 years?
He was there for 6 years. He played the...
6 years.
Yeah.
So they drafted him with the second pick in the draft.
Yes.
And for 6 years, they could not assemble an offensive line that could do anything. Because look what happens.
Yeah.
When you give a guy like that, I had no idea he could run away from the defense like that.
Oh, yeah, we did. I mean, we saw it a couple times. You knew he had that ability. Yeah. He's a home run hitter. That's what he is. He's Deion Sanders. Yeah, because let's be honest, besides those two runs, he didn't do anything else in the game.
No, it was just unbelievable. It was just unbelievable to watch. And you know what? That's not a reflection on him. That's a reflection on the Giants.
100%. 100%.
Yeah, I mean, they couldn't figure it out for 6 years. They still haven't, and they still haven't figured it out. And now you want to bring in an arm, you want to bring in a quarterback.
Yes.
Well, what, are you going to do with the guy, the five guys in front of him that are going to there to protect him?
Yeah, I mean, well, listen, they were better this year in the offensive line a little bit. They have Andrew Thomas, who got hurt. Hopefully Andrew Thomas comes back. They have Illuminor at tackle. They got Runyon in at guard. Let's see if, you know, Schmidt can actually become a center. But again, it's not the same. It's just not the same. If you get a quarterback as talented as Barkley, he will succeed. He will change the Giants. Sorry, he will. If you get a quarterback who's as good a quarterback as Saquon Barkley is at running back, you will transform the Giants and they will win. That's the quarterback position. The running back can't do that. The quarterback can. Joe Burrow plays with a lousy offensive line. And now you look at it, he's got Malik Nabers, so don't tell me he doesn't have a number one. Malik Nabers is a one. You bring in a young quarterback into this, I completely disagree and would argue with anyone that says the Giants aren't in a position to take on a young quarterback and have that young quarterback succeed. Completely disagree. They are more than suited to bring in a young quarterback and help him. Unless the coach is not what we think he is, or at least what I think he is. If the coach is a disaster, then maybe not. But I do believe the coach can coach offense and can coach young quarterbacks. He has other issues, you know, getting along with his coordinators, not yelling on the sidelines, you know, a bunch of things. Not being able to scheme up an offense with a bad quarterback, but I think with a good quarterback, I still believe in the coach. So unless I'm wrong on that, which is very possible because he's lost these last 2 years, but unless I'm wrong on that, the offensive line, as long as Andrew Thomas is healthy, will be good enough to pass protect for a quarterback. They have Tracy, the young running back. They have obviously Malik Nabers as a number one stud wide receiver for him. Wandell Robinson proved to me that he can be a good little shifty slot receiver. I think they'll probably go out. They have plenty of money in free agency, especially if they draft one, a quarterback. They'll have plenty of money in free agency. Go get T. Higgins or another weapon. And now you have an opportunity. You're bringing in a young quarterback into a good situation. A coach who can coach offense and helped develop Josh Allen. Yeah, I said it again. A coach who helped develop Josh Allen. An offensive line with an all-pro or at least a Pro Bowl left tackle. A decent right tackle in Illuminor. I think the offensive line, you throw some money at that too in free agency. They got plenty of money. Go sign another wide receiver. If you get T. Higgins and a couple of offensive linemen, especially interior ones, to help with this group, you got Tracy as a young running back, who is the best, arguably, you know, maybe Bucky Irving, this side of Bucky Irving, the best rookie running back in the league this year. That's not a bad spot for a young quarterback. I do not believe the Giants are in a position where they can't make a young quarterback work. Running back is completely different. And again, I'm not even saying to go out there and have to win, but just to get the offense going. Like, it's not a spot where a young quarterback will come in and automatically fail. I really don't believe so. Could it happen? Sure, but is it? It's destined. It's not some horrible situation. He's got an offensive-minded head coach. He's got a stud left tackle. He's got a young running back. He's got a clear number one wide receiver, and they have money to spend. If they buy a wide receiver and more offensive linemen, they could. I really don't think it's such a bad spot. As ugly as it's been, you get the right quarterback in here, next year they're competing for a playoff spot to the end of the year.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Next year.
Your official station to talk Knicks. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 3:37, McMonagle here with you on The Fan. And just real quick, I went back and looked at Saquon's rookie season as well. And yep, guess what? After week six, 1-5. 2018, 1-5. After six. 2019, 2-4 after six. Didn't win again until the last 3 weeks of the season. 2-11 after 13. 2020, 1-5 after six. 2021, 1-5 after six. 2022, the playoff year. 2023, 1-5 after six. Saquon Barkley was a New York Giant for six seasons, and in five of them, they were dead in October. I know they had that make-believe sort of run where if the Eagles won, they would have made the playoffs. Okay. In any of those years, the Giants didn't get out of October with more than two wins. So please, it's hard for me to feel that connected to him. That's all I'm saying. Great player. I wish him the best. I actually hope he wins on Sunday because I can't imagine the Commanders winning that game. I just as a Giant fan, I'm sorry. It's harder for me to swallow. I'll try and talk about that with Marco in a little bit. 888-808-1019. Let's get back to your calls, though. Stuart in Brooklyn. What's up, Stu?
Yeah, good morning, C-Mac.
Good morning, brother. How are you?
All right. C-Mac, both football teams are implosion waiting to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Because the ownership doesn't recognize
how to build offensive
lines. What?
I said they're an implosion that's already happened.
Yeah, and it's going to get worse. Because these owners don't see that you can hire coaches. The Jets are in, what, the 16th head coach that they're looking at? They looked at?
Something like that. I mean,
really?
16, 17?
Yeah.
And same thing with the GM. They're having so many first-round interviews that they haven't gotten around to narrowing this thing down enough to have a GM before they hire a head coach.
But why don't they do one thing? Why don't they look at, like you said last week, McCarthy or Pete Carroll?
Yeah.
I mean, not for long-term. Pete Carroll's not going to be long-term.
No.
And McCarthy, he's a proven winner. He gets the regular season, all right? They don't do anything in the playoffs because due to reasons that are Aaron Rodgers, when he didn't perform well in the playoffs.
Well, I mean, there's many reasons. One of them is that, yes.
And Dak Prescott in the playoffs, okay, he's not that good either. But the thing is, he gets them there. He gets his teams to the playoffs. And what do the Jets need? On a playoff appearance. Because what is it going on? 15 years now that they haven't been in the play at all. This coming season will be 15 years. That's
yeah.
The longest playoff drought.
And the professional
Giants,
sports,
I
yeah.
don't know. Well, what's with Mara? Why did he have to go and say, if they don't win, they don't get to the playoffs, they're both out? So why don't you just fire
them
now?
He didn't go quite that far as putting an actual playoff mandate on it, Stu. And thank you for the call. He did. He did make it seem like they better win on some level, right? There better be massive improvement, which from I guess three wins isn't that difficult to envision. But yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I hated that. I hated how he handled that press conference. I hated everything about it. He was so focused on making sure he let us know how disappointed he is that he didn't instill any confidence in the decision. You can't, you know, buck the trend and continue to pay these people and bring them back after these two miserable years and then make it seem like you have no justification for doing it. Like, I know he gave the answers of, well, this year's draft was good and I thought free agency was good and, you know, Brian Daboll did win Coach of the Year 2 years ago. I can't imagine that just evaporated. Like, it was so, so uninspiring. And I'm not saying it was an easy sell necessarily, but something, at least make me think you believe it. Even if you fail trying to make me believe it. Because again, I'd rather be wrong. I mean, I'd rather be wrong than ignorant. And it sounds like he's just like, I didn't want to make a decision, so we're going to give them another chance to have a winning season and please me next year. Like, it's just so, so misguided. If you were going to keep him, it's about keeping stability and letting them rebuild it again and getting a young quarterback in here and working with him. It's a long process. They deserve another opportunity to fix it, not another opportunity to win. Or they deserve to be fired, one or the other. But if you're going to keep him, it can't just be about, they better win 8 or 9 games next year. It's got to be about, sorry, still rebuilding, and I need to see progress in the rebuild, I suppose. But it's just, it was a terrible, it's frustrating. Yeah, the two teams are awful. And now we got to watch, I mean, this is the year of hell for John Mara. I feel bad. I do feel bad for John Mara because we could say all we want about him. He's inept as an owner. He should sell the team. You know, he was born on third base and thought he hit a triple. It's his, you know, if it wasn't for his father, you know, that he's one of those owners who were gifted this thing and they never, or gifted their success and they never are successful. We could say all that we want. The fact of the matter is, John Mara loves this organization, loves this team, and desperately wants to win. And so now, you know, he had a connection to Saquon Barkley, whether I had one or not, and he didn't want to see him go, didn't want to see him go to Philadelphia. He's watching him have an unbelievable year, and now the Washington Commanders out of nowhere have popped up to join the fray and get into the NFC Championship game. This is in it, and then never mind the fact the Giants win 3 games. It's just a hideous, hideous season for John Mara and a rough go of it right now. But if John Mara is smart and thinks about it and he has to make a decision on what he'd rather see come Sunday in the NFC Championship game, he will clearly think along with me that it is better for Philadelphia to win this game for the New York Giants and their fan base. It is better to see a familiar foe that has dominated the Giants for years continue to do so and continue to be one of those teams that are Super Bowl teams, as opposed to the team, because I don't know if, Marco, I don't know if you know this, but I was going through the Giants seasons since 2018 and Saquon Barkley just to try and make the case that I don't feel this deep connection to him, because not only was it losing, but the seasons were over before November, and I stopped caring ultimately. So it was very difficult for me to like build this connection that so many Giant fans seems to have, that they can't watch them play when I don't really have this connection. I'm looking at them. It's like 2018, 1-5 through 6. 2019, 2-4 through 6, but 2-11. They didn't win another game until the week 14. 2020, 1-5 through 6. 2021, 1-5 through 6. 2023, 1-5 through 6. So like it's all 1-5 through 6, and that's part of it. And I look through it and I go, well, who were those? Who was that one? Where did they get those wins? Oh, the Washington Redskins. Oh, the Washington football team. Oh, the Washington Commanders. They were the one team, the New York Giants, consistently in the darkest days of their history with Daniel Jones and this team. At least you can count on getting at least one win from the Washington Commanders. And now they've jumped up and they're in the NFC Championship game. And I'm struggling with it. And I'll take the devil I know and the team I've seen play in this game and seen in the Super Bowl over watching the Washington Commanders take this step year one of Jaden Daniels. And surely you agree with that.
No, not even a little bit.
Not even a little bit?
Look, I understand your rationale. Originally, when you said this, I was I mean, floored, and it made no sense to me. I understand the rationale because, truth be told, I use this rationale with teams like the Patriots or the Chiefs. Everybody always wants to see a new champion.
Yeah.
I'm good with the same champion winning over and over and over again. I'm good. I've seen it. I'm comfortable with it. I've digested it. I don't need to see anybody else dance and have a parade that I can't have. You keep having yours. I'm good until the Giants hopefully can get to that step. So I understand the rationale. However, you're missing one key ingredient.
Okay.
And it's a simple word, and it's a harsh word, and it carries a lot of meaning. I don't throw it around lightly, probably a little lighter than I probably should, but in this case, I truly mean it. It's the word hate.
Okay.
And I don't think you quite understand.
I do.
The hate.
Yeah.
That you should have for the Eagles.
I do. I do.
I don't think you do.
I do.
I don't think you do. Because if you do, you wouldn't just say, well, I know what it is and it's fine with no.
Mm-hmm.
No. There is no circumstance at all, ever, that you can be okay with the Eagles winning. Never mind to get back to the Super Bowl with Saquon Barkley. You want to say you didn't have attachment to him? You're not going to look fondly back 20 years from now and think of him as the greatest Giant? I get it. I get it. But the idea that he leaves, mm-hmm. goes to the Eagles, puts up this performance, basically shoves it up your rear end, and then takes that right into the Super Bowl, and you're okay with this?
I'm not, I got a problem. I'm not okay with it. I don't have a better option.
You do.
No, I
you
don't.
Do. You do.
Watching Jaden Daniels 1 year transform an organization who's been right there with the Giants?
Yes.
Because in 5 years, in 6 years, in 10 years, I don't want to have a debate. Because right now, you're right. What organization, what team do I hate the most? It's not even close. Mm-hmm. I hate the Philadelphia Eagles more than I hate anyone else by a mile.
There's your answer. Stop.
But if in 6 or 7 years, I have to go, well, then it could be Washington now. I don't want that.
You know what?
I don't want that.
I'll deal with 10 years from now and Jaden Daniels winning Super Bowls. I'll live with that.
I don't want that.
I'll live with
that. 1 year transform.
I don't care.
We haven't been able to do it for forever.
I don't care.
No,
it's the Eagles.
No, I don't care.
It's the Eagles.
And you may, Saquon Barkley sticking it to us. Boston Scott scores a touchdown every time they play. Miles Sanders was in the Super Bowl with them.
Uh-huh.
It's not like Saquon Barkley. Saquon Barkley went to a Super Bowl caliber team, and guess what? They're a super caliber team.
No kidding.
Great.
It's still the outside concept and the outside noise that I got to keep here. Look, see, if the Giants would have kept him, they had him. They sucked with him. They were going to suck with him no matter what.
Right.
But I still got to watch him win, and then everybody else tell me how I'm an idiot that I didn't want to keep this guy. I'm sorry. That's an ancillary aspect of it that gets my blood pressure going.
Yeah.
The first part, and this is really, it's a bottom line thing where it's a period stop.
Yeah.
Hate.
I understand.
Hate.
I don't.
Hate.
I'll take, it's, I mentioned
There's
the reference.
There's nothing more powerful than hate.
I guess
he got knocked out too.
You know, I don't know. Maybe it's that right now I'm more angry at the Giants than I am hating the idea that a franchise like the Washington Commanders, who have been right there with the Giants as the dregs of the division and the NFL, where Daniel Jones and this horrendous team would be able to at least go in and beat Washington once or even twice a year, that because, and to watch Hard Knocks, and we could talk about all the conversations about Saquon Barkley and Hard Knocks and the owner saying he's not going to sleep and blah, blah, everything else, that phone call between him and Joe Shane. I had to sit there and watch the head coach foam at the mouth at the idea of possibly trading up for Jaden Daniels and knowing that in the ineptitude of ineptitudes that this team has been, a couple of meaningless wins with Tommy DeVito cost them the chance to get it. Instead, Washington has 4 wins, gets the second overall pick, and because of that and the one draft pick of Jaden Daniels, they're going to thrust themselves right into being better than Philadelphia when I haven't been able to do it since Ron Dixon ran the kickoff back in 2001. I can't live with that. I can't live with the idea that Washington has been able to do what I haven't been able to do forever within 1 year of this quarterback. Can't do it.
Let me take a step back. Over this weekend, you had Washington playing Detroit on a Saturday night, correct?
Yes.
Did you watch this game?
I'm assuming you did,
right? You watched the game. We all did. Right?
I did.
Did you find yourself outwardly rooting for the Lions?
Yes.
Okay, like outwardly? Were you like crazed and actually pumping your fist on every first down and every big play that Detroit got to try to inch themselves back into a game that they were giving away? Did you find yourself doing that?
Yeah,
probably not.
Part of it was because I had bet the Lions.
Okay.
But yes, I mean, no. I say I was living and dying on every first down? No.
Right. Take the money aspect out of it, because that's a different animal. We don't want to get into that.
Yes.
On Sunday, in the snow.
Correct.
Were you like I, finding yourself on every first down, every pass, every play that Stafford made, outwardly yelling, "Let's go"? Because I was. And I'm assuming most Giant fans were. When they cut it to 28-22 and they had a chance, when Saquon Barkley and the Eagle offense could not run the football get that first down, which we had watched the Giants do how many times with Saquon Barkley, where they had a lead, a one-score lead, they're giving it away. All you got to do is get one first down.
Can't get it.
Yeah. Defense gives it up, and you wind up, damn, we gave that game away. Yeah. How many times did you see that? I did, and I was hoping to see it the other way.
Yeah.
But the Eagle defense came up big where the Giant defense hasn't, and they wind up preserving that game.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but I was cursing, not out loud because my kids were in the room, but in my head.
It's a little different, though, because that I hear what you say, only because it came down to that final drive. I don't think I was that way the entire game. In the final drive, hell yeah. The Washington game didn't get like that. The Commanders had control of the game. I knew it was a fait accompli. They were going to win
it. If Detroit was in a one-score game late, would you have been? I don't think you would. Because we have not built up the hate.
That's fair.
For Washington.
I don't want to build
up
the
hate. And I haven't built up that hate in 30 years. Now, I'm old enough to be able to watch.
I want
to
hate what I hate.
The 86 championship game and the Giants and Washington and Gibbs and Parcells. Yep. And the Giants always had the better way of Washington, so I never really truly felt the hatred for them. Mm-hmm. Even the Giants in their heyday always lost to the Eagles.
Yeah.
Always found a way.
Agreed.
Even when they were 10-0 and they were setting up for the 49er game in 90.
Yeah.
Lost to the Eagles in Philly. I think it was like 38-13. They didn't even have a chance.
Hate Philly.
The hate.
I agree.
Hate.
Much more hate. Agreed. Much more hate.
Then that's
but
it.
But I'm used to it.
I can't
live in a world. If this kid is ready to win this game and go into Philadelphia,
it's the same concept.
What hope do the Giants have?
It's the same concept as we're both Yankee fans, that you'd rather see the Red Sox win because you're used to it, then see the Blue Jays come up in a one-year type of situation and get to a World Series.
That's it. It's not a one-year. This is the young. He's not going anywhere.
We don't know.
You're living
in the 10 years from now. What the world is going to be.
I
knew what RG3 was going to be until that fell apart, too. I don't know.
If he's ready to win this game year one, there's no hope.
Okay. No.
There's no hope.
One's got nothing.
There's no hope.
No. See,
I'm not doing that, honestly,
and I'm not going to sit here and tell you the Giants are in good position. They're not.
But I'm just telling you, honestly, and here's the other thing. What's a more impressive win? At home in the snow against the Rams or going into that building and beating the Lions?
Yeah, so.
Right? I think if that game isn't in the snow, they lose that game. They have a quarterback right now and an offense that doesn't really work. They fell apart last year. Saquon Barkley had two breakaway runs. I'm telling you, I don't necessarily think the Eagles are like, if he's this, the Commanders can be the Eagles for the next 10 years while the Eagles fade.
And in 10 years from now, if my hatred simmers to that point, I'll live with it.
I want my winning more than I want the hate of the Eagles. You know, I want the Giants to win.
Mac.
That's what I want.
What you see on Sunday will not affect whether the Giants win.
Yes, it could. If he's really ready to win this game, there's no stopping him. He could become Patrick Mahomes. I don't want to see it. I don't want to see it. I do not want to see that one pick transform the organization. I don't want to see it.
You're worried about whether or not Jaden Daniels, if he wins this one game, can then catapult his career into the stratosphere of one of the greatest, if not the greatest quarterback we've seen.
What if they go on to win the Super Bowl?
Or seeing the Eagles win with your guy.
I've seen the Eagles. He's not mine.
And for the second time in less than 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to see the Philly fans dance. And you got to hear it from that obnoxious fan base.
I don't plan on going to Philly anytime soon. Where am I going to hear it from?
Where are we
hearing it? Watching it on
MetLife when they invade.
They
invade.
And what happens if the Commanders become the Chiefs? They will invade. I'm already used to that invasion. It's been 25 years. I grew up in it. I was raised.
See, here's the difference. What happens if?
Yes.
I'm living in reality.
No, it's not reality.
This is reality now today.
Reality is I've lived in this. I've done it.
Hate.
We know. I hate them too.
But they
won a Super Bowl. It's not like they haven't. If they still had never won a Super Bowl, maybe I'd feel differently. They won one.
No.
They won one. And they were just in one.
There is no world. There is no planet. There is no There is no circumstance that you can ever root for the Eagles. I don't care who they're playing, even if it's the Cowboys. The only thing that would make this worse is if it's Dallas.
No, 100. Well, no, this is worse.
This is not worse.
This is worse.
This is not worse.
This is worse.
It's not worse.
It's worse. It's worse than if
you're hung up on a guy that you never had. Jaden Daniels was never a Giant. He was never going to be a Giant.
He's about to, what he is about to become changes the ability for the Giants to win. Dak Prescott getting it right Dak Prescott getting it right for one playoff run and the Cowboys beating the Eagles, like it doesn't mean the Cowboys are going to like
I don't buy that. This has got nothing to do with the Giants. This has got nothing to do with the Giants in that regard. That's got nothing to do with it.
I'm sorry.
If they figure out their organization and get themselves on the right track, this game will have nothing to do with that. Whether they can or they can't is on their ineptitude or their ability to fix it.
I can't have them get to the Super Bowl one year with that quarterback. Can't do it. I'd rather it be the Eagles. I've already seen the Eagles.
Honestly, it's blasphemy.
I've already seen the Eagles. Why is it blasphemy? They're both in the division.
It's not like I'm
saying I'd rather see it against some other team. I agree. I hate them more, but it's just part of the plan. They're a good team. They've been a good team.
What other sport that the rival, your fiercest rival, the one that you hate the most, that you would root for over another divisional opponent? There is no other situation where you're going to give me this.
Football's unique, and the quarterback's unique. If this were just if the Washington Commanders, for whatever reason, got, I don't know, Kirk Cousins back or did it with even Sam Darnold or something, and they were winning because they had built up a process and have a really good team for a little bit, I might feel completely different. I am scared of Patrick Mahomes being in my division. I'm scared of that becoming. He's that, bro. He is. If he can go beat them on the road, beat Philadelphia on the road, and go win a Super Bowl, he's unstoppable. Imagine. I'm not kidding. Imagine. Right? Say it's the Eagles. Say it's the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
If this kid
goes
and beats the best team in the conference in the Lions on the road, puts up 45 points and embarrasses them.
Yes.
Goes into Philadelphia, beats the second best overall roster, possibly best healthiest team, a team that's been to the Super Bowl, Saquon Barkley, the whole bit, goes into Philadelphia and beats him, and then goes to the Super Bowl and beats the Kansas City Chiefs. Forget it.
What?
Forget the whole thing.
Does that change your hatred?
Yeah.
It doesn't change mine.
No, it's over. It's over. What's the point? Now we got the Eagles who are going to be good nevertheless, and I got the new Patrick Mahomes in my division.
Yeah,
if he goes in there with Dan Quinn and wins a Super Bowl against the Kansas City Chiefs, forget it.
I got to tell you, that'll bother me, but the hatred still won't be the same. It's not the same.
It'll bother me to no end.
The hatred is not the same. It's the Eagles. We're talking about Philadelphia.
I understand that.
I don't think you do.
I do.
I really don't think you do.
I don't want a new Philadelphia. I don't want two Philadelphias. I don't want two.
I don't even understand this
808.
Anymore.
I'm just sorry. I don't.
You should be sorry.
Okay. I'm just telling you. That scares me much more than this Eagles team with Jalen Hurts figuring out a way to win the Super Bowl. Honestly, it does. That scares the hell out of me. I don't want Patrick Mahomes in this division.